Amen. Let's just go ahead and start off with prayer. Father God, we give you all the glory. God, we give you all the honor. We declare our hope is in you. Our hope is in you, Jesus. Lord, we welcome you here and now. We welcome your presence. God, I just come humbly before you, and I pray that you would speak through the words that come out, God, that they wouldn't be my own words, God, but they would be your words. And Holy Spirit, we rely on you, God, that whatever the words would be spoken, God, that you would place that meaning, whatever it is that needs to be heard today, God. We rely on you, and we rely on your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your presence. We draw near to you, knowing, God, that you draw near to us. So we exalt you, God. We exalt you this morning. And all we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this is new to me, the ability to have both hands. I'm used to kind of holding the microphone and kind of staying still. But I've got both hands this morning, so I don't really know what's going to happen. So I'll just go ahead and apologize at the very beginning. But thank you guys for letting me be here this morning. It is an honor and it is a privilege to be able to share the message of Jesus Christ. Whatever it would be, and it's so neat for me to see, because I was praying, okay, God, you've opened a door to speak. What is it that you'd have to say today? And the Lord told me about who is your hope? I didn't know it was communion service. I didn't know what was going to be taking place, and I did not know the message that you were going to give this morning. But I was planning on giving a testimony about how once you seek God, you can test and prove Him and see that He is true to His word. And so, talking about exalting Christ, so I just want to begin by going ahead and I'll give a little bit more about myself, and then just going to talk about what God has begun really moving in my heart recently. But as Pastor mentioned, my name is Michael Thomas. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, and it's already been noted that if I say Roll Tide too many times, I'm probably going to cut the mic. So, but hey, it's a good day to be in Texas. I hear both the teams won. So, all right. But I'll step back a little bit. I grew up in church. We were involved in a really traditional church younger, but my parents God started moving on their hearts, and they just knew, okay, there's got to be something more than just coming to church. There's got to be something more than just coming in, sitting down. There is a living God. We want to know who He is. And so they began seeking, and I was truly blessed because they began seeking, and I'm benefiting from the choices and decisions that they've made. But they began seeking after God. They got plugged in. It was pretty Pentecostal charismatic church, and they got plugged in there, and it really changed my life. God started placing upon my heart people, ministry, just to glorify and exalt in His name. And so I didn't really have a choice to go to church whether or not when I was younger, but as a result of that, got plugged in church, and God really began doing some things on the inside of my heart. I helped out with youth ministry, starting about at 13, started doing worship ministry, was highly involved with that, did some college ministry back at my undergrad university. Then I really got involved with a church plant that my mentor, he pioneered a church, and I got to do worship and college ministry with that. And so really just God began placing in my heart to seek Him first, but exactly what it said, there's what Pastor said, the core desires in my heart, make the Lord known, exalting Him with every single thing, bringing people back to the heart and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so I knew that's what God called me to do. But I graduated in 2010. I graduated from my undergrad. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what steps were next. And we really began praying and seeking God. And God opened the door for me to go on a mission trip to the Philippines. I had no idea where I was going to go. I had no idea what was taking place. But God opened that door to go. And so I went. He supernaturally provided for me to actually get to the country. I got to go serve with the team. And when you can recognize, okay, God's doing something, but I don't understand what it is. That's when you pray. And so talking about testing and seeking after God, what is that step, God? What's taking place? And I begin praying. God opened the door for the Philippines. So I'm in the Philippines praying, working with the team. We're doing street ministry, evangelism, going and doing prison ministry. And one day, God just laid on my heart, when we came back to the main hotel where we were staying, God laid on my heart to go, hey, don't go with everybody else. Don't go to sleep. Everybody was going to sleep, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God, sleep's good. Rest is good. There's a Sabbath, so. But God placed on my heart, hey, go have lunch with one of the local pastors, one of the Filipino pastors. And so I went, heeded that voice, because I was praying and was seeking, and God said, hey, go have lunch with Pastor Ray. So I went, and I had lunch with this pastor, and he wasn't fluent in English by any means, so it was kind of fun to try to figure out, what is he saying? I'm not quite sure, but okay, Lord. So it was a fun lunch. But we're talking about our hearts, different things that we're wanting to do, and he looks at me while we're having lunch, and he stops, and he just says, hey, have you ever thought about going to Oral Roberts University? This is a pastor on the other side of the planet that I haven't spoke with at all. I've already been praying, okay, God, what's that next step? And I had thought about ORU, but I thought about going at one point, but I kind of put it on the back burner. I was at a point where it was either, okay, God, I want to serve you, but is this going to be full-time, or am I going to do business and just something on the side? So fast forward, I'm having lunch with him, and he says, hey, have you ever thought about going to ORU? Something lit up on the inside of me. I said, well, I have, but why do you say that? And he looks at me and he says, well, because that's where world changes are made. And then he begins to speak a little bit more about ORU and what he's heard and what he has seen people from ORU do. And this isn't a plug for ORU. I could give one because I'm a student there. But the main point is heeding the voice of the Lord, and God facilitates these divine appointments. God causes different things to work out. I was seeking him, and God opened the door. Pastor Ray said this, and something just lit up on the inside of me, something that I can't begin to explain even to this day, but I knew it was right, to the point where the next day we were doing street evangelism, and they have some unique ways. We were doing kids ministry, and I was dressed up as a clown. I had clown makeup on, and somebody already beat me to go get the outfit, so by this time, the only one that's left is a pink outfit. So I've got a pink, like pink pants, this funny looking striped shirt, and clown makeup on, and I'm going in the streets, and we're doing some ministry. Well, then they say, hey, there's an opportunity to go preach in the prison. We've got to jump on this. Nobody's going to get in here, but we need you to come. Well, there's 10 people on my team. There's two guys. One guy was kind of nervous to talk, so he didn't want to talk. So that puts me, the guy with clown makeup, wearing pink pants, going to this prison. So you can imagine what's going through my mind. I don't have a change of clothes. So you can just imagine how this is unfolding. God, what are you doing? So we get there, can just see, you can feel there was kind of an oppressive environment. You could just feel it in the atmosphere. And so really began praying. I kind of wiped as much of that makeup off of my face as I could. Ladies, you do a good job. There's a lot involved with that. But I wiped off as much as I could and got there and actually saw these people, saw the faces, saw people who were hungry, saw people who were hurting. They felt abused, they made wrong choices. But some of them, you can really tell that there was a desire to know the Lord in there. I'm telling you the story to tell just how God works. I went and I began speaking. And as I was speaking and I was just talking about Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus, God of heavens and earth, you know, I was speaking to them, just trying to relate. You know, you might think it's a man to go out and drink, whatever it would be. I'll just keep it G-rated. But I was telling them, you know, but Jesus Christ, he gave his life. This is a man's man. This is a man who knew what it meant to give it all. And that is truly what being a man is about, giving it all, because it was all men that we were speaking to. And I can't get past going to ORU. While I'm speaking, all in my mind is, that's going on in my mind is get trained, get trained, get trained. God, I want to get trained. God, I want to grow. God, I want to develop. God, I want to be able to speak to your people and to train, and God, just give your message in a way that's going to change. God, I want to be prepared. And so we spoke and then wrapped it up. And as soon as we said amen, I go over to the corner. And keep in mind, I'm wearing clown makeup, got pink pants on, pink polka dotted pants and a striped shirt. So I know I was a sight. But all that was in my heart was, God, I want to get trained. God, I want to serve you fully. I want to exalt your name. I want to be ready to do what it is you've called and created me to do. So I can't get past it, and I just start crying. So I'm this guy in the corner, pink pants, polka dot, in the prison, kind of like shaking, crying, and, you know, recognizing what this looks like. But I committed right then, okay, God, no matter what it is that you say for me to do, I'm going to do it. Lord, I trust you. God, I'm going to walk out. God, I'll walk by faith and take that step, and I'm going to do what it is you've called and created me to do. So made the commitment that I don't care what happens, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to seek after him. I'm going to do what he's leading me to do. Came back, told my pastor, went ahead and just kind of took every option for me to say no out of the ball game. I went back and I told my pastor, who was my mentor, and I was already doing worship at the church. I said, hey, I'm not going to be here much longer. I'm going to ORU. I made it to where I couldn't step back because there's going to be times when God leads you to do things. But you got to remember what it is he's saying. You got to remember how he spoke. And if you've got to do what I did, take away the opportunity for you to even step back. But I began seeking God about how that was to work. But God just began to open door after door after door. And this is all piggybacking about how you seek God. If God's given you, if he's got a destiny for you, he will provide the way. If God's got steps for you to take, if God's got different things, it's not up for us to figure out every single step. It's not up for us to try to understand how is this going to work out. I've found, and I've got a whole lot of room to grow. I know that. By no means have I arrived. But what I have found is that God will draw you to a place of total commitment and obedience, total abandonment, and it's this place that he draws you to, of full faith. And it's not, I don't fully understand it or how it works, but what I do know is that God will draw you to a place, no matter where you are, no matter what your field is. You know, if you're a doctor, if you do construction, whatever it would be, you don't just have to be in ministry. God will draw you to a place of full faith in him and trust in him and his name. And he'll cause the different things to work out, whatever it is he's called and created you to do. And so I committed. It's like step after step, God began to open doors and cause things to come in line. For coming to ORU, my prayer was, okay, God, you know, I haven't been accepted yet, but I don't care. I know I'm going. There was a minister who was a pastor's friend. I'm in Birmingham at this time, and there's a minister who came to speak at the church that I was working with in Birmingham, and he actually came to me, and he said, hey, Michael, he didn't even know I was going to ORU at this point, but he said, you know, I've heard you're kind of looking for different things to do. I don't know where you are, what's going on. But do you know, or do you know anyone who would want to come out to Tulsa for a little while? We're missionaries, and we're going to be out of the country for a month, and we just need somebody to watch our house. I say, when? He says, the month of December. I'm starting ORU in January. I haven't been accepted to ORU yet, but it's okay, I'm going. And he says, okay, well, we need somebody to watch in December. Okay, answer to prayer, because I was praying, okay, God, I pray you open the door. I don't want to just get all out there at the same time. Lord, I trust you. This is my heart's desire. I want to be able to kind of be in a position to where I can grow, and I'm not trying to figure out where am I going to live, what I'm going to do, all at the same time. So God, I pray for a door to open for me to get out there in the first place, so I can get settled and then start school. God opens the door right there. I said, yeah, right here. I'll come watch your house for the month of December. I said, he didn't even know me yet. You know, I don't know how many people are like that. I mean, is anybody just going to say, hey, you want to come watch my house for a month? But that was the prayer. God, I pray a door would open so I could get out there and be ready. And so he opened the door. I went ahead and out there. I packed my truck full of stuff, everything that I had. I still wasn't accepted to ORU at this point. And the end of November, I drove out there with all my stuff, not knowing what I was going to do, but just trusting God. And so I stayed there. They were gone. I watched their house. Another story at another time. They have a lot of interesting creatures and a lot of interesting animals. That'll be another story for another time. But I watched the house, and I took care of, there's about 19 animals at the time, and I took care of all of them for them. That's the real reason why they wanted somebody to watch the house. Confession time, one of them died. Yeah, sorry. That's not my full gifting, but, you know, there was grace. I put some roses in the little lizard cage, the one that died when they came back. So, you know, there wasn't really a proper burial. It was more so I kind of panicked. Let God, I don't know how this happened. The thing died. Can we get this out of here? So I just kind of threw it down the drain. Who was going to... Oh, is this recorded? Okay. Well, then let's monitor who we share this with. So long story short, they came back, and this just testifies of how good God is. They came back, what was it, about the end of December, and, you know, I had to find a place to stay, still hadn't been accepted to ORU yet. And he comes to me and he says, Michael, the house looks great, everything's in great condition. Why don't you just live with us? Why don't you live rent-free with us? Why don't you just go ahead and stay with us as long as you want? You know, grad school costs money. Different things cost money. Free rent? Yes. More so, the provision of God for the thing that he's called you to do. I didn't see this in advance. I didn't see this coming. But this is something that God had ordained, a step that God had, and he already had it provided for. He already had it worked out. I didn't know anything about it, but God took care of me. The same God that I serve is the same God that you serve. The vision, the dream, whatever it is that God's placed you on this earth to do and God's called and created you to do, this is more than a pep talk. This is somebody giving a, this is what I've seen. This is not me glorifying myself, but this is me glorifying God. Because what it is he's called you and created you to do, at the same time, he will equip you. He will provide. I didn't see any of this coming, but God provided for it. And I'm truly blessed. I could share more later, but that at the same time, there was another individual who came and spoke to me. And he said, okay, I see you want to go to ORU. If you'll apply yourself, if you'll go after it, and I mean, if you really commit yourself there, I'll help pay for it. And so that is huge. I haven't said that a lot because he didn't want me to mention it, and he told me to kind of keep it under wraps, so I won't mention any of it. It was a family friend, and he just said, you know, if you'll go and if you'll commit yourself, I'll take care of it. And you don't have to pay me anything. The payment back will be you committing yourself. And so if I tear up, I won't apologize, but just so you'll know it's coming. And that's the God we serve. God provides the different needs, whatever it would be, when the time arises for you to do what it is you're called and created to do. God provides in different ways, at different times. He is the one who is, God is in control. And the struggle sometimes is trusting him and letting him go, and letting go of it. And that's what I say, and I found that God wants to pull you to a place of true and full obedience and faith in him and trusting in him. I'm no superstar. I'm 26 years old from Alabama, you know. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Nice. But this is what happens. Like, when you trust the Lord, God provides, and God, he establishes his kingdom. It's not so we can become superstars, and so his purposes can be fulfilled in this earth. The things that he's called and created us to do, there's purposes behind that. It's not, I mean, we can have a good life, and there's things that we can enjoy, you know, but it's for his purposes that his will would be exalted. And if you're on the face of this earth, if you're in this room, wherever you would be, if you're here, there's a purpose, there's a destiny, and God's got different things that he wants you to do. So kind of swapping just a little bit, and just with that in mind, but kind of continuing, I was really praying about just, okay, God, thank you for this opportunity to speak. What is it that you'd have me to speak on? And he said, Jesus Christ. Well, okay. We're going to church. You know, that'd be a good topic. That'd be something good to talk about, Jesus. Do you all agree this morning? So, he just started weighing more on my heart about who Christ is. Kind of, if you want to say the supremacy of Christ. Who's your hope in? Is your hope in Jesus? And just where I'm at right now, I can just speak from a personal testimony of currently. I don't know why, and I don't know exactly what the Lord is doing, but as far as right now, what I sense on the inside, I know there's times we can get busy. I know there's times we can get busy with it. For me, it's busy with school. And I know if you're in seminary, and if you're in seminary, you got a job, all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, you're in seminary, and if you're finding yourself kind of burned and weighed down, and even at times, you know, I'll just be transparent. I'd rather be real than try to sugarcoat anything. There's times when even though I'm in seminary, I have to actively set my mind on glorify Christ. Take time to exalt him. Don't just give mental thoughts. Don't get burdened down with school and then just give Christ, okay, my mental thoughts, okay, yeah, I believe, yeah, I believe. The Lord is drawing me deeper than that right now. Deeper and deeper and deeper. It's an amazing season. God's doing some amazing things. It takes some work. But like the song Kristen sang and just the service this morning, even the fact that it was communion, God has drawn me deeper. The songs that right now that I'm hearing that are exalting Christ, there was another song that Kristen, we talked about maybe singing, but it's in Christ alone. When I'm hearing different things about Jesus, it's doing something different on a different level on the inside of me. When I'm hearing things about who Christ is, it's drawing me deeper. It's messing with me to the point that I don't understand, but something on a spiritual level. It's caused, tears. I'm not a big crier, but I don't know why. But God is doing things, and when I hear messages about Jesus, when I hear songs that glorify Jesus Christ as the Son of God, it's moving me in a way that I haven't felt in a long time. And there's something about getting back to that. I said it a second ago. We're going to jump in some scriptures in a second. But it's more than just mental ascent. The Christian walk, it's really easy to get burdened down with different things, responsibilities, duties, obligations, whatever it would be, and to just kind of, for faith to move to a place where Christ is something that we say, okay, yeah, we believe it's true, and it's set right here. When God first started laying on my heart to come to ORU, I began fully seeking him. And then I began hearing his voice in a deeper way and seeing the Lord clearer than I've ever seen before. But it's almost at times it feels like, okay, I have stuff to do, and I kind of stepped back from that. If I'm just being transparent, I'll be transparent, and I'll be the first to say, you know, God is calling us deeper, no matter where we are, what's going on. And I'm going to tear up if I keep going. But thank you. But past myself, past my own thoughts, but learning to exalt him. He didn't call me to that place of full trust and obedience, and a place where I'd be willing to go wherever he'd say go and do whatever he'd say to do, for me to just step back and then to re-engage in life. He didn't call me to that place where I'd say, okay, God, I humble myself before you, and every single thing that you call, Lord, I give myself to it fully. He's not going to call us to that place for us to just step back. Now, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, none whatsoever. But that full place of obedience and trust that he's calling us to, it's a place, it is a sweet place, sweet presence of the Lord. And it's what I'm experiencing now. But if you would turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 16. We'll start at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And this account is something, it's something that Jesus experienced when he was on the face of the earth. The disciples encountered it because people knew who Christ was. They saw, people could actually see him. They were around him and heard his teachings. Some were just given merely mental assent to it. But it goes so much deeper than that. If you'll read, pick up at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. This is Jesus speaking with Peter. It says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi," you can say it in multiple ways, "yes, Lord," "he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'Okay, who do you say that I am?'" He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Now they came up with these ideas of who they said Jesus was from different things that they encountered. When they saw Christ, they had their own ways of, okay, yeah, I believe that he's just a prophet, or he's this, he's that, or the other. I just took a class at ORU, and it kind of really opened my eyes a little bit more to how much Christ is a central figure, not just in Christianity, but in the world. people all across the board have different things that they say about Jesus. To the point to where, okay, if you were a spectator on the outside and you just saw all these different people with ideas about Christ, if all these different people have different things to say about Jesus, we got some popcorn. If all these different people have different things to say about Jesus from across the board, you know, people who don't accept him as the Lord, people this, that, or the other, wherever they are, but the common and the central figure is they all say something about Jesus. This class that I took was a class about cults, and it was about how to reach people in different denominations, not denominations, but different religions, different beliefs, and in cults. And I found something really interesting, and I just wrote them down about all the different people and what they had to say about Jesus. And these are present cultures, present sects, different beliefs, streams of thought in today. Many of you probably heard about the Illuminati. They hold Christ in the position. I thought it was interesting that the Illuminati deny that he's the Son of God, but they hold him as the Grand Master of the order, restoring all liberty and equality. This is stuff that we were covering in this class. Jehovah's Witnesses. Some of you may know more than I do on this subject, but they hold Jesus. They say he's not fully God, but he's God's first creation. They say that even Jesus was raised as a spirit creature and given rulership in 1914, and they have their own different beliefs. Okay, New Age holds that all is divine, but they have the same relation point in Christ. They say, oh, but we can achieve Christ consciousness. I'm saying all these different things to point you that people hold him in a certain place. Islam holds that he was a great prophet. Not only that he is a great prophet, but they even believe that Jesus is going to come back again. And they've missed it in this point. They say he's going to come back again, and then he's going to restore everybody to true Islam and declare that. You can look a little bit further, but if you want. But that he's going to come back again, and he's going to declare that Islam is the truth. But that's what they say about Jesus. Mormonism says he's divine, but they deny the virgin birth, and that he came and he rose again, came to the Americas. But salvation isn't just through Christ. You have to work to gain salvation. But I thought it was interesting that all these different people, though they have their different shoots of what they believe and how they believe, it's like that main point is Jesus. Different thoughts, different thinking, whatever it would be. You can think of other religions and other different things, but it's like they have that mainstream of Jesus. They've missed it. Because these are just interpretations of what they can say. These are different interpretations. To get the question of who is Jesus, I believe you got to look at what Jesus Christ said himself. Who does Jesus say he is? So if you pick that back up, Matthew 16, let's start at 14, or let's start at 13. It says, now when Jesus came into the district of, you got it, Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? This common question was being asked that day. And this is Christ, the one speaking. Then the disciples responded and say, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then Jesus said to them, all right, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That statement, me personally, it means more to me now than it did before. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That question is one that I think we can ask ourselves today. Who do you say that I am? Okay, it's one thing for me to say with my own mouth something. But what does my heart say that he is? What do my actions? What does everything that I can actually do, what does that say Christ Jesus is? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he goes on, and he says, Peter, you know, upon this rock I'll build my house. But he says, Peter, you got it. That he is the Christ. He is the Son of the one true and living God. Jesus is the one that came and died on the cross for us and for our sins. He is the one that gave his all. He is the one. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords humbled himself and came on this earth to lead us, guide us, and direct us, and point us to the Father. He is our Lord. If we confess to be Christians, then it takes more, and this is just where the rubber hits the road. It takes more than just the thoughts of it. And this is where God is challenging me. And I can't say exactly what God is going to challenge you to do or what God is going to speak to you, because let the Holy Spirit reveal that to you. But what God is challenging me, because I can speak for myself, speak of what God is revealing to me, is He is challenging me to every single day stop and make Him the center of my life. Every single day, where I am, to stop, to exalt Him, to glorify Him. And to what I'm doing, give my all to Him. To yield to Him fully every single thing. Outside of thoughts, more than just thoughts. I thought it was neat that, I'll just turn to it real quick. In James, this just points to across the board. As James 2:19, you don't have to turn there. But it's the passage where James is speaking and he says, okay, yeah, you talk about Jesus, that's great. Even the demons believe in the Lord. What are you doing if you just talk about Him? If we'll turn to Hebrews 11:6, as we're kind of winding down. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6. The writer says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Now, the Hebrew concept of faith, like kind of along what we're talking, is more than just a thought. It's more than just an idea. Their concept of faith goes more deeper into being faithful. That word is an action word. So being faithful. And the day-to-day thing, stopping and exalting Him. Stopping and glorifying Him. As Christ, as the Son of the living God. Let's go back a little bit to chapter 4, verse 16. So He says, let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. This is the writer of Hebrews speaking this. Let's look at the words of Christ in Matthew 11. Kind of doing a little sword drill right now, but Matthew 11, verse 25. So we have the thoughts of Christ. We have what everybody else says. Now we look to what Jesus says. We're going to go 25 through verse 30. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise, you've hidden these from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, I thank you for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Jesus Christ states this. He says, come to me. He says, come to me. And this come to me is more than just with your thoughts. And I'm just speaking from where I am. He said, come to me. Not just with your thoughts, not just with your actions, but with all of who you are. Come to me. I know certain times you get busy, certain times a lot of things are going on, but Jesus Christ says, come to me. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. I want to touch on Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. As we're winding down. We're going to scoot back just a little bit further. We're going to read verse 1 through 11, and then we'll close. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love. Being in full accord and of one mind, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count on others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only at his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of the death of the cross. And like Pastor said, you know, I believe if God's called you to something to that extent, his grace will be on you for that. But the key is obedience. Let that same heart and mind of obedience be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Christ is the Lord, to the glory of our Father. The Jesus that we serve, our Lord, our Master, he's got the name that is above every other name. Every need that you have is met in Christ Jesus. Anything that you're experiencing, and Christ can cause you to soar above on the wings of eagles, but that hope is found in Christ. The life is found in Christ. His name is truly above every other name. And no matter where you are, if this is something that, you know, if it's just confirmation towards you that, yeah, you're going right, if you're like myself, that sometimes you have to make the purposeful effort to exalt him, or if you haven't even accepted Christ, no matter where you are in this, his name is above every other names. And there is a hope in him. You have a destiny in him. There is a purpose. You guys have been created to exalt his name. That is why we are here. Sometimes I get kind of serious when we're talking about the Lord. So at the same time, sometimes I don't know the look that's on my face. But just kind of in closing, it is my joy to share this message with you guys. And if I could call, if you come away with anything today, I pray it would be a question of what role is Christ playing in my everyday life? Am I exalting him in the workplace? Am I exalting him in church? Am I exalting him in my thoughts? Is my life glorifying him as the center? Is there something that he's got for me to do? Is there a step that I need to take? Is there something that God has in store? God's drawing us to that place of full obedience. And the encouragement that I can give to you this day is to trust him. To believe him. To believe not only that he is, but he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That is the encouragement I want to leave with you guys today. It's what I've seen in my own life. And I'm no different than any of you. So, Pastor, if you want to come and kind of close it, and if you'd like to lead us in prayer. Yes, sir. That is the heart's message today. Yeah.